Heavenly Father, I pray that you send your Spirit, that he would come in our time and speak, that he would fill our eyes and our hearts with a focus on Jesus, that we would know him better, and that your Spirit would come and empower us to be a light for you around the people that you've put us. Thank you, Lord, that you hear this prayer. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. When God's power comes, what's it look like? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Mm-hmm. What it looks like. I'm going to read. This is Acts chapter 2. I'm just going to read the first 13 verses. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." Okay, this is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. Jesus told them to wait in Jerusalem, chapter 1. We've already gone through that whole bit. He said, wait for the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, it's where they are right now. In Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so prior to chapter 2, the disciples are waiting. And they're waiting by praying. Remember, here's verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. All these, that's all the disciples, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, continuing in prayer, remaining in prayer. That's the idea. Together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so we've got this group, about 120, it tells us in chapter 1, that are waiting for the coming of the Spirit, and they're waiting by praying. Then, suddenly, on Pentecost, bam! The Holy Spirit shows up. And the Holy Spirit fills the disciples, and they go out into the streets from the room they were staying in. And they proclaim, verse 12, the mighty works of God. That's what they're proclaiming. And they're doing this in the languages of all of these different peoples who are here in Jerusalem. You see this in verse 4. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then verses 6 through 11, it says, at this the sound of the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, aren't these Galileans? How is it we hear each of us in his own language? And then he gives us all these peoples, you know, these people, those people, these people, those people. And verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. Okay, that's the gist of what happens. That's what happens on Pentecost. The Spirit comes. The disciples proclaim God's glories. And the nations hear. Now, when the Spirit comes, hear the words that Luke uses to describe it. This is verse 2. So look at verse 2. I see the word suddenly. I see the word from heaven. I see mighty, rushing, filled the entire house. Tongues as of fire. This is the description. Now, all these words and phrases give you a sense of two things. One is power. You know, mighty, rushing, filled the entire house. One is surprise. Suddenly. Now, here's the thing of it. The disciples were told by Jesus in advance that the Spirit would come. And they're actually waiting for the Spirit to come. And when the Spirit comes, they're surprised. I mean, they were told this was going to happen. They've been waiting for this to happen. And they're surprised when it happens. This is God. The Holy Spirit will surprise you. I can remember in my life, I can remember several occasions where the Holy Spirit came on me in an overwhelming way. And in every instance when it happened, I was not expecting it. It just happened. One time, I was walking in the woods. Another time, I was doing dishes at the sink. Another time, I was lying in bed at night. Another time, I was in a hotel room. I mean, just think, I'm just living life, right? This is like living life kind of stuff. At none of those times was I expecting such an intense presence of the Holy Spirit. But there he was, and it was undeniable. But in every one of those situations, though I was not expecting such a strong sense of the presence of God, I had been involved in significant prayer leading up to that. And every one of those, the days and the weeks prior to that happening, I had been involved in significant prayer. And this is what the disciples had been doing as well. They had been involved in significant prayer. And then, bam, this Holy Spirit comes on them. And they're surprised. And so they're praying and they're praying and they're praying and they're praying. And all of a sudden, the unexpected happens. Here's the Spirit. He surprises them and he fills them. But the Holy Spirit surprises and fills those who are seeking him. He doesn't do this kind of thing with people who are not seeking him. Now, that's based on my own experience looking back, but it's also based on this text. Now, of course, I don't want you to be thinking that my experiences with the Holy Spirit ultimately compare to Acts chapter 2. I do think that the Holy Spirit falling on people does happen today. I can't deny that. I do believe there can be similarities between the Holy Spirit's visits today and his visits here in Acts chapter 2. However, as much as I believe that, there is only one Acts chapter 2. This is the original coming of the Spirit upon the church. And all the times when the Spirit may come and may fall and on you and fill you, Acts 2 is the foundation of that. Now, when it happens, it's sudden and powerful when it happens. No one will control the Holy Spirit. No one. Sometimes that bugs us because we like to control things, don't we? And, you know, an investor would like to control the stock market, but he can't. The stock market is bigger than he is. It's wilder than he is. You know, we'd like to control our spouses and our kids and have them do what we want to do, but they're their own person. And you can't control them. You don't control your spouse or your kids. We might wish to control the rain when there's a drought, but we don't have that power. We can't control the rain. We all get sick, and I'm sure if we were in control, that's not what would happen, is it? We can't stop death. I mean, if we were in control, these things wouldn't happen, would they? So much of life is beyond our control, and it bugs us because we want to control. Life is a wild tiger. But God, he's even wilder than the tiger. He made the tiger. And if you can't control the tiger, what makes you think you can control its creator? Sometimes we pray in an effort to get God to do what we want. And if that's your only reason to pray, you're really trying to control God. That's what that is. It's, I'm in control, and God, hey, God, could you do this, please? Like, God's your servant kind of thing. Guys, I am sorry. You can't control God. You cannot control the Holy Spirit. You can't. Don't even go down that path. If that's something that you've been tempted to do, just, you know, turn your prayers into God, do what I want, you need to change that. The Holy Spirit is sovereign. He comes when he wants. And he comes on whomever he wants. And when he comes in power, his coming is grace. It's just grace. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It says the tongues came to the disciples and rested upon them. And then it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, granted, the disciples had been praying, and that's important. We talked about that. That's central to the coming of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit... I don't know. But when the Spirit shows up...
Lord God, thank you for giving us time here. Lord, please protect us, our people, from anything that is not from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that was. Okay, back to Acts. So granted, the disciples had been praying. And that's crucial. But when the Spirit shows up in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is the actor, and the disciples are the recipients. The disciples are receiving what the Spirit is doing. It does not say, and the disciples filled themselves with the Spirit, as if you could fill yourself with the Spirit as one might fill his stomach with some cookies. The Spirit's coming is more like the rain that you do not control. And when it falls on you, it comes on you. There's nothing, you know, you don't control it. Or, to use Jesus' simile, it's more like the wind. And it blows where it blows. And it comes and goes, and you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it is going to. That's how Jesus described the Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit does not answer to you or to me. We can ask. We should ask. But we can never command. So here in Acts 2, when the Spirit comes, he gives utterance. And the disciples proclaim the mighty works of God. The Spirit gives power to proclaim God's works. That's what happens in this text. And here, that power includes the ability to speak languages that the speakers actually didn't speak. And this ability to suddenly speak another language was a sign. Specifically in the text, when you just kind of read the text, it is a sign to the people who speak those languages. Here, I'm going to read again verses 6 through 12. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? And then we get all the languages. And then down in verse 11, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? God uses the tongues as a sign to these nations to prepare their hearts to listen. These nations see something amazing is going on here, because these people don't speak our languages, but here they are speaking our languages. So how is it that they're able to speak our language? That's what there is going on. And they're wondering this. They're perplexed, it says. They're amazed, it says. And so Peter is getting ready to tell them what's going on. They're wondering, what is going on? Well, Peter's going to explain what's going on, and they are going to be all ears for Peter. The tongues are opening the hearts of the nations to to hear the message that Peter's getting ready to tell them. The tongues are preparing those nations for what's coming. The disciples are going to be proclaiming Christ. And the nations are going to be listening. They're going to be open to this. Because why? Because of the tongues. That the sign of the tongues is preparing them. The Spirit does this. When you have God's Spirit, He gives you God's words for the people around you. Now, our witness for Christ needs to come from the Spirit. When you speak for Christ, you want God's Spirit to speak. And not just, let me just tell you stuff, kind of thing. And if you have the Spirit, you have power. Because the Spirit is power. And if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have power. And so the power here is the Spirit. That's Acts 1:8, right? But you will receive, this is Jesus talking, you will receive power when? When the Spirit comes on you. Okay, the Spirit brings the power. And what's the power for? Acts 1:8. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so the Holy Spirit comes on them and they now have power and they are now witnesses for Jesus. This is what's going on in Acts chapter 2. What's going on in Acts chapter 2 is Acts chapter 1 verse 8, what Jesus said was going to happen. They've received power. They are now witnesses for Jesus because the Spirit has come. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. What this means is that if you want to be a strong witness for Jesus, pray for the Holy Spirit and keep at it. Don't do this, oh yeah, I prayed last week kind of thing. Keep at it, like the persistent widow. The Holy Spirit will give you power to witness. He will. And He wants His witness to go to the world. Here we are. This is day one, Acts chapter 2, of the Spirit's coming. And the apostles are witnessing in Jerusalem. But they are witnessing to the ends of the earth. The people who are listening to them are from all those places that you read in verses 8, 9, 10, right in there. All those regions of the Roman Empire, that different people groups, different languages, but they're all in Jerusalem. This is why God intentionally chose Pentecost for the Spirit's coming. So Pentecost was a Jewish festival. In the Bible, the Old Testament, it's called the Feast of Weeks. And it took place basically 50 days after Passover, which is why the Greek calls it Pentecost. Penta is five, Penta, right? And so, and it was a festival. It was one of the few festivals in which the Jews were required to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the festival. And so we have Jews here from as far away as Rome who are in town because of the festival. That's why you have all these nations here. They're here for the festival. And I believe it's why God chose Pentecost. Because His goal is the ends of the earth. All these people are going to hear about Jesus on Pentecost, are then going to return home, because they're visitors. They don't live here in Jerusalem. They're going to go back home. And when they go back home, do you know what they're going to take with them? The gospel. They're going to take the message of Jesus and the resurrection back home in all of these different languages and people groups. And so Christianity begins in Jerusalem. But from the very beginning, it goes to the ends of the earth. It was going to the ends of the earth right here. Because God wants all peoples to know Jesus. Jesus is for the world. Yes, he's the Jewish Messiah. But if you read about who the Jewish Messiah is in the Old Testament, the Jewish Messiah was going to be the king of the world. And so he's for the world. And it's the Spirit who takes him to the world. And so the Holy Spirit is necessary for the church's life and for the church's mission. Remove the Spirit, you're dead spiritually. You have no spiritual life at all if you remove the Spirit. And so is the church. Take the Spirit out of the church, you have a dead church. And the Spirit is not someone you control. Remember, we talked about that. But he is someone you seek. And if you seek him in consistent prayer, I believe he'll come. But not on your timetable. Because you don't control him. He'll surprise you. Because that's how he is. So, given all of that, I want to challenge us today to seek God's Spirit through regular time in prayer and in God's Word. And so I'm really going to sort of homework. This is your homework going out from this. I'm challenging all of us to spend at least 1 hour every day with God in the Word and in prayer, seeking his face. Just at least an hour a day. And I think if you do that over time, I mean, if you do that for 1 day, no big deal. Over time, we're talking time. Keep it up. He's going to change your life. That's when God's Spirit will come. I want that. And you do too. So let me pray. Father, thank you that you love us enough to send your Spirit to us. And I pray, Father, that you, by your grace, change us and transform us and make us a people who seek you and seek you and seek you and seek you. I pray for all of the distractions of earth that get in the way. Things like internet and social media and movies and entertainment and the news. And these kinds of things. Work sometimes. Lord, I pray that you would overcome these distractions and have us say, I'm spending time with you. Do this in our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.